Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sherrod here with you tonight. We have Datuk Ma Weng Kwai, a member from the Judicial Appointments Commission, on the show to discuss. I want to touch on the Judicial Appointments Act, which is what the commission was set up under. And as we mentioned a little bit earlier, the role of it is to uphold the continuous independence of the judiciary. Could you elaborate what that means? What does the independence of the judiciary entail?
I would like to start by saying that the independence has to come from within. And if the selection process is done properly, we get candidates of caliber and people not just eligible by years of experience or years of practice, but people who display all the accepted qualities of a good judge. And once we know that there is this pool of good people who would honour the Constitution, we practice constitutional supremacy, not parliamentary supremacy, people who understand and respect the rule of law. So when it comes to any particular case which can be debatable, then these people will stand their ground and say, look, this is the way to do it right.
Could you go further into the discussion about constitutional supremacy? It's something that's perhaps counterintuitive in a Malaysian context after many years of not just a parliament that has changed the constitution many times, but also a very strong executive branch. What is constitutional supremacy? What would it look like?
I can go by way of example where we acknowledge and agree that the constitution is supreme law of the land. Take the two recent cases of Suminie Jaya and Indira Gandhi, both these cases, federal court cases with a full bench, the decision is that, look, judicial power belongs to the courts, not to the executive. So that's a very clear spell out of what constitutional supremacy really means.
Can you talk a bit about the public perception of the Malaysian judiciary at the moment? Is it seen to be independent from the public's point of view, you reckon?
I would like to think and believe that people do think that the Malaysian judiciary is independent, but we can't just be saying this without proof. In that, as they say, the proof of the cooking is in the eating. But we have the judiciary will have to stand out and be counted, and to show that the decisions are really independent. Let's say in the Court of Appeal or in the Federal Court, where the panel is either 3 and the Federal Court 5, 7, 9 even. There have been cases where judges disagree with the majority decision, and really for the development of the law, the dissenting judges are encouraged to write their dissenting judgments. Yeah? So this, I see, has been happening more frequently and very recently in the Bin Abdullah case. Mm-hmm. That was a majority decision,
yes.
But there were decisions written by the dissenting judges.
Why? If you could explain, why is a dissenting judgment important, not just to have, but to actually set down on paper? What does it do to judicial culture and, you know, the legal fraternity?
It's not just a numbers game, right? Not just a 4-3 or 3-2, not a football game. But it's very important that the public, the Malaysian public, get to see how judges think. And you can only look at it through their judgments.
Right.
You know, you read the judgments and you'll realize or appreciate the arguments.
Right. And on that note, how would one go about assessing or evaluating the quality of the judiciary of judgments?
It has to be merit-based. Yeah. And judges must be seen to have fully understood the facts of the case, to have fully appreciated the law and apply the facts to the law and vice versa, so that it is a holistic judgment. We cannot at any time tolerate any judgment which is not written by the judge himself. There have been such allegations from time to time. We most certainly cannot have cut and paste judgments. All this must be frowned upon, and the judges should in fact be pulled up and spoken to. So as far as quality is concerned, we want to know, firstly, judges must know what the case is all about, and they must show their integrity, industriousness, and the sense of fairness. yeah, that you have considered both cases. See, as a lawyer, we only tend to always look at one side of the case. If you're acting for the plaintiff, it's a plaintiff's case. And if it is a defense, defendant's case. But as a judge, you have to balance up both cases and see what is the true position to see whether it's fair and whether it's reasonable. The other, of course, that when you talk about industriousness and being on time, there is a requirement that judges must write the judgments within 8 weeks of the delivery of the judgment. And you can be faulted if you are beyond that time. And really, if you have JCs, and JCs who have more than three judgments outstanding, more than 60 days, will not be looked upon fondly.
So they have their KPIs. They have their KPIs.
We don't call it KPIs, but these are benchmarks that they have to follow.
I do want to ask you about the standing of the Malaysian judiciary in the kind of larger Commonwealth, the same legal system, citing judgments from India, citing judgments. I mean, it seems that judicial culture and the intellectual aspect of it is something that goes beyond the boundaries of the country, right? I mean, to what extent do Malaysian judgments punch above their weight? I mean, are we creating judgments that other countries are looking at?
Well, judgments are as good as the submissions of lawyers. A lot depends on what the lawyers are actually submitting. But very often, and it's not unknown, the judges will do their own research on the particular points of law and reference to Indian cases, American cases, British cases, of course. It's frequent. And yes, punching above their weight is not uncommon. And I think it should be encouraged, because even though a counsel may not have touched on a particular point, but if the judge finds that it is relevant and important, sure, by all means.
How do we encourage that? You know, I mean, that's an interesting way to put it, right? How do we encourage, punching above our weight for our judiciary?
Again, I will go back to the point of selection.
Okay.
So a lot of importance must be attached to the selection, starting from the JC level.
Begins as you know, at the very beginning.
At the very beginning.
Can I very quickly ask, so are judges trained to be judges?
No.
They're not? No. Okay. So it just comes with a wealth of experience.
Right. So can I just elaborate on this point?
Yes, sure.
Training of judges.
Sure.
And this is where the Judicial Academy plays a role. Under the JAC, we have the Judicial Academy. In fact, now it's headed by a federal court judge who is one of the members of JAC, Dato Sri Zawawi. And his job and his committee is to arrange for programs and workshops for especially JCs who have just been taken in, so that they will know and learn about the art of judging.
Mm. Yeah.
But there's no requirement that there's any particular training before they get selected, unlike Philippines.
The Philippines
have a judicial academy where applicants must go for a course before they get taken into the judiciary. So ours is in-house, after appointment.
I know you had a question,
Sean,
but we're going to take a quick break.
Okay,
we'll be right back. More on Consider This. Don't go anywhere.